The J-Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell. With J1 off again this past weekend due to the final international break of the year, on this week's episode we present our second groundhopping special of 2019, but this one with a twist. It's the J-Talk Island Hopping Special with Stuart Woodward and Chris Huff. In this podcast, we'll focus on the grounds and cities that Stuart and Chris have visited on the islands of Shikoku, Kyushu and Okinawa, and give hints and advice to help first-time visitors to these places get more out of their tourist and match day experience. The J-Talk podcast starts now. So, as in September, when we recorded our first groundhopping special, it's my great pleasure to be joined by our two resident groundhopping maestros. Firstly, Stuart, great to have you back for more. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Terrific. Great to hear. And Chris, how are you? I know it was a few weeks ago now, but have you just about thawed out from your trip to Gunma?
Yeah, just about. But I had flashbacks last night watching the game against the Kita Kyushu. It looked very cold again in Gunma. I think it's, a place where you should take very warm winter clothing.
It certainly looked that way. So for any listeners that not yet subscribed to Chris's excellent Lost in Football Japan YouTube channel, our Mr. Huff's latest video is from the Shoda Soy Sauce Stadium in Gunma, where you pretty much froze your rocks off, Chris.
Yeah, it was a lot colder than I expected. I went there pretty much in my autumn clothing, but really could have done with full-on winter clothing. It was ridiculously cold.
Yeah, and don't worry, that certainly came across in the video. Yes, indeed. But another great watch, as always, Chris. So let's dive right in, guys. We've established your credentials in the first special of the year, in which we talked about two stadiums and cities in Kansai, the two Nagano Prefecture clubs, and Vegalta Sendai's Yurtec Stadium. But here, as I mentioned in the intro, we'll discuss the places you visited to the southwest, I guess, on the islands of Shikoku and Kyushu, and in Stuart's case, way down south, in Okinawa. Now, I should say off the top that our intention is to cover a total of seven grounds in this episode. And I know this is a podcast and we can literally go on for as long as we like. If you're a regular listener, you know we care very little how long our pods go for on J-Talk. But we all have to work tomorrow, so if we find ourselves going too long, we might have to make an executive decision and drop a couple off at the end. This rambling is consuming valuable time. So let's get going. And we start on the island of Shikoku, where the smallest and I don't think there's any doubt the least visited of Japan's four main islands. But listeners, yeah, you won't be surprised that both of my guests have made trips to Shikoku. The island is home to four prefectures and three J-League clubs in the shape of Kamatamare Saneki of J3, which we're coming on to soon, that Chris has been to. Our first ground that we'll cover is Tokushima Vortices' Pokhari Sweat Stadium. Stuart's been there. Also in Shikoku, J2 Ehime FC are long-time J2 residents. And pleased to announce, if you haven't heard this already, joining J3 in 2020 as the division's, they will be the 16th club, remembering that the three under-23 teams are dropping out after this season, are FC Imabari, also from Ehime Prefecture. So we might have an Ehime derby in the next couple of years if Imabari can work their way up to J2, or heaven forbid, Ehime drop down to the third tier. The other prefecture in Shikoku is a Kochi Prefecture. They don't have a J-League club, but they do have three teams in the regional Shikoku Soccer League, including a Kochi United SC, who I hope one day can make it into the J League as their crest with a leaping Bonito front and center is a personal favorite of mine. But yes, that's hopefully to come in the future for Kochi United. Stuart, the catchily named Pokhari Sweat Stadium, named of course after the popular sports drink, is home to Tokushima Vortis. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was a really good trip actually. So I decided to go to that one. I think it was Golden Week when I went, and so it was pretty good weather. And I travelled by Shinkansen from Tokyo area down to Kobe, and then stayed one night there, and then the next morning got the expressway bus from Sannomiya in Kobe across the big bridge to Tokushima, and then got off at a very kind of lonely bus stop on the expressway, and then walked down some steps and decided just to walk to the stadium from there. And it was quite a long walk, about more than 30 minutes or so, and it was a very hot day, so I'm not sure it was the best way to go. I think you could probably get a taxi from that area, especially if you could call a taxi. I think you could get one. And I got to the stadium. It's a really, really thriving stadium. All the local people there turn out, and there was plenty to eat and to experience around there. And I really felt that the people there, you know, wanted to welcome the fans coming. And, you know, they had lots of freebies to give out. I think I had a whole bag of stuff of local stuff to take home when, at the end of the day. So yeah, it was a very, very good, place to go. It's a very well supported team, locally.
So was this an F Marinos away game, Stuart? Is that when Tokushima were in, win J1? I guess that was 3 or 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. They came up, and so one of the things I was going to mention was that at the start of the year the calendar is announced. So look down to see when the interesting away matches are, and I like to go to the nearby matches, but also if there's a team that's come up from the lower division, then and I haven't been to that stadium, then especially I want to go to that one, because it might be the only chance to go for a league match in a like a couple of years if they come up and go straight down. So yes, it was that time a few years ago when they came. But I think that year was the year that I went to all the away matches. So it was just a matter of I have to go, and so planning to buy the tickets, and it just really wasn't a choice about the going in that case.
All right, so I don't know if you remember, as I say, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, but any local delicacies that you sampled around the ground before kickoff, or the atmosphere around the game itself was I imagine, pretty decent for a team that was in J1 for the first time.
Yeah, I think the one thing that comes away, like I can't remember the local delicacies such, but I just felt it was a very welcoming place, and the people there really seemed to be happy to see the travelling fans. I just felt it was a very friendly place. But about travel, one of my friends, he went there by boat. And there is a boat daily to Tokushima that you'd never think about, you know, catching. And it's from Hamamatsucho and costs 12,000 yen to stay in the shared cabin there. You can actually take the same boat all the way to Kitakyushu. So the first day it'll arrive at Tokushima. So you basically catch it at 7:30 at night time in from Hamamatsucho, and then you arrive in Tokushima the next day, about lunchtime, about to 1 o'clock. And then you would arrive at Kitakyushu the following day at 5 a.m. And, so him and a couple of mates, they went to the match by ferry all the way there. I'd gone by train and I stayed, in Tokushima the next day, but it was a real, like at the end of the match, we really had to, get our skates on because, there was a bus going to the train station and we had to meet the last train, going back to Tokushima, and there were just hundreds and hundreds of people. It was like a local train late at night, but in the carriage that I was in, I think I knew more than 50% of the people on the train because they were friends of mine who'd come up there from Yokohama and Tokyo. So that was my one memory, is really being organized at the night match to know how to get back. It was quite a experience that late at night.
Goodness me! Well, I was expecting that. Yeah, we'd be talking about Shinkansens and we'd be talking about catching planes. And I know Chris is a fan of highway buses, but yeah, I didn't think we'd be talking about taking a boat to any of these grounds. But there you go. People can be very inventive when it comes to getting to and from football matches in Japan. There's no doubt about that. All right. Well, so Tokushima was an interesting experience for Stuart then. And so before we leave that ground, I guess, would you recommend the way you went about it, Stuart? Would that be, or do you think catching a plane, well, obviously would be faster, but you're pretty satisfied with the route you took?
Yeah, I was quite relaxed because, like, on a Saturday, this was this was one where I think I had no pressure about getting there with the timer. It was Golden Week one, but for me, in being able, I can get on a Friday night, I can go to work and then catch the Shinkansen from Tokyo, and then get in to about as far away as Kobe, quite comfortably, and then you just go to your hotel, go to sleep, and then the next day. But this one was like a two-step: go to Kobe, and then in the morning, early in the morning, catch the bus over to Tokushima. So I thought that was quite a comfortable way to do it. I think you can also go a bit further down and go across Shikoku by train. So there are multiple ways. I would say the way I went was quite comfortable. And the other thing that is that really I don't know many people who have been to Tokushima. You know, so just having the motive to go there is quite interesting for traveling. You just have to do it, and you see what happens when you go. And you also mentioned about Kochi. I saw a match in Kochi, Marinos versus Tokyo Verdy, in the strangely scheduled Emperor's Cup match a couple of years ago. And that was a really great trip. Kochi is a really great place to go.
Well, there you go. You've thrown us a curveball at the end there. Okay, so you've been to a grand in Kochi Prefecture as well. So that's another one. Yeah. Another one on your list. Terrific stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so one thing that I mentioned to the guys in planning this episode, listeners, was that, yeah, we were taking a slightly different tack than the first Ground Hopping Special, and actually considering trip planning when it comes to these stadiums that the guys have been to, and that we're ultimately recommending that you might want to check out as well. I mean, as I said in the intro, in the first ground hopping pod, we talked about a couple of grounds in Kansai. We talked about the two stadiums in Nagano, which I guess, of course, you could do if you wanted to over the course of a weekend. But when you think of people visiting Japan, especially who would usually be based in probably one of the two big metropolises in the Tokyo, Yokohama, the Kanto area, if you like, or the Osaka, Kobe, Kyoto, Kansai area, that you might be able to if you were thinking of heading down to Kyushu or Shikoku or indeed Okinawa, you might be able to make a footballing weekend out of it. So, yes, if Tokushima's Pokhari Sweat Stadium sounds interesting to you and you also wanted to pair it with a game on the same weekend for Kama Tamare Sanuki at their Pikara Stadium, for example, there were two separate examples this season that is still to run, of course, where you could have gone to a home match of one of those two on the Saturday and then headed over to the other prefecture and gone to the home game of the other one on the Sunday. So, obviously, that you're too late to plan something like that for this season. But yeah, once the fixture list comes out for 2020, this is something that we hope you'll consider if you're thinking of planning a football related trip to Japan. So Chris, yeah, Kama Tamare Sanuki. I believe it was an Emperor's Cup game that you visited that stadium for. Was it earlier this year? Same kind of intro to Stuart. How did you get there? How did you find it? The atmosphere around the match rather than the atmosphere inside the ground.
I went for a J2 game last year against Montedio Yamagata. This was when they were battling against relegation. So I think it was about September when I went there. They got a 94th-minute equaliser, I think. So, yeah, there were good atmosphere for that. The decision to go there was, I think I had a bit of free time from work, so I had the chance to fly down to Shikoku. I'd never been to Shikoku before. It's my first visit to that part of Japan. But it absolutely blew me away. It was such an incredible part of Japan. There's so much to see in that region. Kama Tamare Sanuki play in Kagawa Prefecture, so the nearest big city is Takamatsu, but it's on the coast, so you can do like island hopping. There's lots of small islands to visit. There are gardens, castles. Yeah, there's so much to see and do in that part of Japan. It's really beautiful.
So it sounds like something you could dedicate a whole weekend to rather than wasting your time at a football match.
yeah, absolutely. I think I had maybe 2 days, which wasn't enough. There was so much more that I wanted to do. So I think if you wanted to combine Kama Tamare with a Tokushima game, yeah, maybe it's worth booking maybe 3 or 4 days in that region because there's just so much to do. And also food-wise as well, Kagawa Prefecture is famous for Sanuki Udon. So if you're in that region, you've got a really good chance to try that as well.
Now, apologies for my error, but when I'm thinking about Sanuki, you and the Emperor's Cup, was it at Gunbar Osaka's ground that you... Oh, actually, you saw them twice, didn't you? Matsue was the first game in your road to the final, and then you followed them to Gunbar Osaka's ground, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. So I saw them in Matsue, then I followed them to Gamba, where they lost 7-1. Sadly. But, so I'm quite familiar with the Kama Tamare fans, I think, in this season. But, yeah, they were good. I think they're a good bunch of fans. They travel quite well. I'm always quite impressed when I see them play away from home because getting from Shikoku to anywhere in Japan is a bit of a hassle. But they always seem to take a lot of people and make a lot of noise when they go away.
Now, I asked Stuart if he had sampled any of the local delicacies in Tokushima around the game. I mean, when it comes to Kama Tamare Sanuki and Kagawa Prefecture, I mean, Sanuki's crest literally has a bowl of udon with a soccer ball in the middle of it. So I imagine when you go there, you have to eat the udon or you're banished.
You do, pretty much, yeah. And this is a bit controversial, but I don't actually like udon. But I had to eat it when I was there. I felt obliged to try it. But I'm not a big fan myself.
So you just had to hold your nose and just say when in Rome you eat udon?
Pretty much. But also outside the stadium they had half-price beer, which helped. So, yeah.
But certainly helped the udon go down the nice and smoothly, I'm sure. Yes, indeed.
Indeed. But, the stadium is actually, Pikara Stadium is in quite a small city. It's in Marugame. So it takes about 20 minutes from, or maybe 30 minutes from Takamatsu. And when I went there, I tried to walk from a station think it was called Konzoji Station, which was probably the most countryside train station I've ever been to in Japan. It looked like the middle of nowhere. So I walked from there, and I think it took me about 40 minutes to get to the stadium. But on the way back, I decided to walk to Maogami, and it took me about an hour to walk. But then I found out later there was a shuttle bus from Picada Stadium to Maogami City. So I think if you do go, don't try to walk. Just get on the bus.
Fair enough. So, yeah, how did you get down there, Chris? You're obviously a fan of the highway bus. Did you partake in that again, or did you go a little bit more upscale with your transportation?
Yeah, I actually flew for this one. You can get quite cheap flights to Takamatsu with Jetstar from Narita Airport. So I think it only cost maybe like 6,000 yen one way to fly. And yeah, that was the easiest way. The quickest way to get there. But I think you also have the option of, I think there's a night train, that goes to, from Tokyo Station all the way to Tottori. But first of all, it goes to Takamatsu. So you can take an overnight train as well. That's one option. Or if you take a bus, I guess you'd have to get to Osaka first, maybe, and then change buses. But yeah, I flew when I went to save a bit of time.
Yeah, Stuart, I don't know if people who haven't visited Japan before understand how expensive the Shinkansen is, do they? I mean, obviously it's something that you probably want to try once you've arrived, because, you know, I mean, a force of engineering, and they're absolutely amazing. Amazing creations that, make you feel like you're not really traveling all that fast at all. But yeah, Chris is right, isn't he? When it comes to, decent length trips, I mean, it's pretty amazing how much cheaper it is to fly in almost every case than to take the Shinkansen.
Yeah, for going down to, Osaka and, Kobe, I think it's about the same price. To get there. So yeah, always look for the cheap flights. And also the flight prices vary depending on how early you book. So if you are real experts at it, then you book like on the first day that the flights are issued, and then you can get a really good bargain on that. But it's always worth checking out the prices. Yeah.
So Chris, what sort of a ratio? This is a very broad question, but what sort of a ratio would you say you've flown on your trips versus taken the either the Shinkansen any of the three major forms of transportation? You've tended to take the bus more often, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah, I often mix it up. So I'll take the bus one way and then fly back. Because sometimes actually the night bus isn't that much cheaper. But the only benefit you get is that you don't have to pay for your hotel. So you can get into the city quite early in the morning and then explore before the match. But if I go to Nagasaki, I fly, because otherwise it would be about a two-day trip, I think, on the bus. Shikoku, yeah, I flew there and back. When I went to Shimane, I took a night bus there and flew back. So yeah, I try to mix it up usually, because it works out a little bit cheaper, I think, especially if you can take a night bus one way, because you save on accommodation.
Yes, indeed. All right. So, before we leave these two clubs, then I did mention that there were, two instances in this, the 2019 season, where you could have gone to either a Tokushima or a Sanuki home game on the Saturday, and then a home game of the other on the Sunday over the course of a weekend. Well, when it comes to Ehime FC and Sanuki, there are actually four times this year you could have done the same thing. So, again, staying on the island of Shikoku, and there are a couple of other interesting combinations crossing over from Shikoku to Kyushu, and the one that really stuck out to me, guys, and I mentioned it to you both before we as we were planning this episode, is that if you were able to get between Fukuoka and Sanuki, which is, as Chris has mentioned, in Kagawa Prefecture. So island hopping in its very truest sense. But you could make that journey in around 3 hours by Shinkansen and by JR train, changing on the mainland in Okayama. You could have, there's 8 separate occasions this season where Fukuoka and Sanuki both played home games on the same weekend. So, yes, if you were in one of the major metropolitan areas and you wanted to head down to the islands for a footballing weekend, well, you could have done it on numerous occasions this year. And as I say, once the schedule, the fixture list for 2020 is released, which is usually from memory in late January or early February, I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, once the fixtures are posted, then perhaps you'll be able to plan a similar kind of trip for next year. All right, well, yes, Shikoku, I have not had the pleasure myself, and indeed that's a running theme of this episode, because I haven't been to any of the grounds that our guests have been to. So yes, I'm getting an education, as you are as well, listener. So let's head over then to the bigger of the smaller islands, I guess, if that's a pretty strange way to say it. But anyway, yes, to Kyushu, again, slightly to the west. And, these guys have been to quite a number of the stadiums in Kyushu. Kyushu has a total of 7 prefectures, and actually saw somewhere that Okinawa was considered part of Kyushu in terms of being attached to it as a prefecture. So I'm not sure if I buy into that. But anyway, on the Kyushu mainland, at least, there are 7 prefectures. The only one that doesn't have a J-League club is Miyazaki, but they do have 2 teams in the 4th tier Japan Football League, Tegevaharo Miyazaki and one of the Honda company teams, Honda Lock. They both play in Miyazaki Prefecture. Of the grounds that our guests have not been to in Kyushu, there's Kita Kyushu and Kumamoto, currently playing in J3, but both have very strong chances to be promoted to J2. In fact, Kita Kyushu are almost certain to head back up to J2 for 2020, and Kumamoto have a decent chance with the 3 games to play in this season, while Kagoshima United are a J2 club. They went up with FC Ryukyu last year, need a point from their final game, or Tochigi to not win at Chiba to stay in J2 for 2020. Kagoshima is right down at the bottom of Kyushu, but yes, the guys have been to, they've both been to Tosu's Ekimai Real Estate Stadium, the real estate agent in front of the station stadium, Oita's Showa Denko Dome, which has had about 5 name changes in the past 3 years, and Nagasaki's Trans Cosmos Stadium. So, should we do them in the order that I've just read them off then, Stuart? Tosu have been, in J1 for quite a few years now. And when it comes to access, there aren't many stadiums in Japan that have a better train station to stadium access, are there?
No, it's a very, very easy one to get to. And we missed one, which is Fukuoka's stadium. Ibispa's Stadium.
Oh, well, yeah, we were coming on to that because you've been there. Okay. Yeah, you've been there.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so, Tosu, like, the way that I've been there, and I think I've been there, like, 2 or 3 times now, is to stay in Fukuoka. There's really not much in Tosu itself, and it's a very easy train trip from the center of Fukuoka, where the Shinkansen station is, and basically just a local train, and you get out of the train at Tos, and just you're basically at the stadium at that point, and I think there's a convenience store, and you just go out and go to the stadium, and lots of as usual, as we always say, there's lots of food and drink outside of the stadium, and it's a really good place to watch football. I've been, after the match, I did go to a bar in Tosu, but that was as an invitation from TOSU fans that we know through friends and friends of friends. So we had a little party with them after the match. But wandering around, I didn't really see much there in the town or very much reason to stay in the town at all. But Fukuoka by night is a really a great place to go.
So that was that another Shinkansen down from Kanto to Fukuoka?
Yes. No. Actually, I've only flown to Fukuoka. I think for me, so far, I think Kobe has been the furthest on the Shinkansen. Anything further than that has been by plane. So yes, to Fukuoka Airport, which is quite easy to get to, and easy to get into the town from there, and going to Avispa Stadium, it's actually a walk from the airport itself. You can get a bus from the airport, but you can walk in about 20 to 30 minutes just basically around the airport, and it's on the other side of the airport there.
Right, okay then. So when it comes to flying from Tokyo to Fukuoka, Google's telling me slightly over 2 hours?
That sounds about right. I've managed to get back to work in the morning. I came on the early flight and just went straight into the office from that. But the funny thing was that the day that I went, there was a tornado, and my flight, not tornado, typhoon, and the flight was cancelled. They even called me the day before to say the flights are looking bad tomorrow. So in Tokyo, because the typhoon had already passed Fukuoka when we arrived, so it was the next day. In arriving next day in Tokyo, and because of the typhoon, I got into the office from Haneda Airport quicker than some of the people in Tokyo whose local trains had been stopped. So it was a quite fortuitous trip back, but very easy to get around by plane in Japan.
All right, so Chris, you've also been to TOSU's stadium. Did you do any more digging in the TOSU city area itself than Stuart? And did you dig up any little gems that you might be able to pass on to the listeners, or would you go along with Stuart's recommendation of basing yourself in Fukuoka?
Yeah, I stayed in a very small place called Yayoigaoka, which is about two stops from TOSU on the train. I think, it was probably the most local place I've stayed, I think, in Japan. There was not much there. So I would recommend staying in Fukuoka. But I actually combined this trip with Oita. So I did Oita one day. Next day, went to TOSU. So I think Fukuoka is a better base because it's a bit more central and you've got more train connections. But TOSU itself, there's not a whole lot to do. But when you get there on the train, the first thing you see is the stadium, which is like right next to the train station. But apart from that, I didn't really explore that area.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I think it is, it's by area. I think it's the smallest city in J1, isn't it, TOSU? So, I mean, yeah, as both of the guys have said, there isn't a lot happening there. But, I mean, the club has done well to maintain their J1 status for so many years. I think it's 7 or 8 years now they've remained in J1. So, their football isn't the easiest on the eye from time to time, but that's not what we're here to discuss. I don't know, anything else to add before we move on? I mean, Chris has mentioned that he did Oita on the same weekend, so that might be a good chance to segue on to, Oita's, as I said, currently named the Showa Denko Dome. Quite a big ground, Chris, and Oita, I guess it's probably one of the hidden gems of Kyushu, because it's home to a lot of well-known hot spring areas, and probably a really nice place to visit in itself, regardless of whether you were going to catch a football game or not.
Yeah, absolutely. The resort, or the sort of hot spring town of Beppu, is very close to Oita. And if you take the train from Fukuoka down to Oita, the train line goes all the way along the coast of that part of Kyushu, so the east coast of Kyushu, and it's absolutely amazing. It's really beautiful, like beaches stretching along the coast, little islands dotted, like not far from the coast. And Ōita is a very nice city as well. It's quite hilly, a lot of trees surrounding the city. It's got a very sort of, I think, southern vibe. It feels very relaxed, very sort of chilled out. And yeah, Ōita Bank Dome, or I can't know what it's called now, but the stadium is absolutely massive. I went last year when Ōita were in J2, but I actually sat with the away fans because I went to watch Omiya Ardija in a J2 clash. It wasn't, the attendance wasn't so high, but really, like mind-blowing stadium. It's absolutely incredible. The dome, it looks like something from the future. But access is not that easy to get to. You've got to get a shuttle bus from Ōita Station. I think it takes about 30 minutes on the bus. So it's not close to the city. So you've got to bear that in mind. And actually, when I went, because I was doing Ōita and Tosu, like back-to-back, I stayed in Fukuoka as my base. So I flew into Fukuoka, then I stayed one night there, then I took the train down to Ōita in the morning, then came back to Fukuoka, then went to Tosu the next day. So actually I didn't have much time to explore Ōita. So I would recommend, if you do this trip, to maybe book an extra night and spend at least one night in Ōita.
So Stuart, yeah, you want to jump in there? I know you've been to Trinita's Ground as well.
Yes, I will. Let me just go back to Fukuoka for one thing. So Fukuoka, the nightlife there is really, really good. And if you're there in the summertime and you can get out at night, then down by the river they have all the little food stands, the yatai down there, and just wandering around there on a Friday night or on a Saturday night, there's like half of the town are out there. And I was there and getting quite late and out drinking, and with a friend from Scotland, Jamie was there with me too, and we just came across a festival where on the left hand side was a pro wrestling match going on in the street outside, like with a full ring and seats all around. And on the right-hand side, the ladies were coming in their matsuri wear, carrying the mikoshi shrine on their shoulders, with all of the sounds of a festival going on. And we're there with our drinks in hand that we'd got previously, and thinking, well, this is a great place to be on a Saturday night. So that was a really great memory of Fukuoka. But I've always had a good time there, plenty to see, and it's a good tourist place too. But heading on to Ōita, I managed to go there a day early, and I stayed in Ōita and went to Beppu. And for some reason, when I first thought about coming to Japan, when I knew that I was coming to Japan, I got the travel book, I think it was a Lonely Planet guide, and that was probably the only information you could get about local places in Japan at that time. And I read about Beppu and all of the hot springs there, and it sounded an interesting place. But it took me many, many years to actually get all the way down there, and it was really, really worth going to Beppu just to see Beppu in itself, because they have several hot springs in close proximity, so you can get a like a walking course and go into each one, and you go into one spring, and it's like visiting a temple with the gardens, and they have a like the volcanic pool there, and there'll be one which will be blue, and then you'll go to another one which will be like a rusty color, and then I went to another one. And they had a crocodile garden there with all of the crocodiles enjoying the warm water, I guess, all the year round. And I don't even think I went to all of them on that day, because I didn't have enough time. But you could spend a day or two just wandering around all of those hot springs in Beppu. And if you like going in the onsens, I'm sure you could bathe several times there. I had one place where it was just a foot bath, and you could just put your feet in and relax there next to the spring.
And then, the next day, the small matter of a football game that you had to go to take time out of your sightseeing.
Well, that's true. Yes, and to just to follow up with the comments, there is the shuttle bus from the town. I wasn't sure at the time where to get it from. I think the people in the tourist information office told me, and it's something like outside the McDonald's. And once you found the right place, you could see the fans all queuing up. But that was pretty much the only way to get there, unless you had a car, because it was quite far out of the town. And as Chris said, it's very very hilly around there. So the stadium is quite a drive away, and they've managed to find or flatten a place in the hills to build that big dome. And I saw it the other day on the Rugby World Cup, and I thought, where is that stadium? That is huge. And I didn't recognise it because it was full. And when I went there, there was a few hundred, maybe, I'm not sure if 1,000 Marinos fans went there, but it was less than usual. But and also on the Oita side, they don't fill up their half of the stadium at all. So it really is huge stadium there, and a very nice stadium to visit. One of the kind of those World Cup sites that were built for the Japan Korea World Cup. So yeah, definitely a sight to see in the stadiums around Japan.
Very good. And it does appear that that Tosu will be maintaining their J1 status for 2020. That means that Kyushu will still have two top tier teams in the upcoming season, which is good. And that means that people who are thinking of heading down will have the possibility to see football from all three divisions. But again, that is actually up in the air, because as I said earlier, Kitti Kyushu are almost certain to be promoted to J2, and Kumamoto have a decent chance to join them. So when it comes to planning a weekend down in Kyushu, you obviously do have a lot of options, and you might not want to dedicate both days of the weekend to getting to a football match. As Stuart said, there's an awful lot to do in Oita, and certainly at night in Fukuoka as well, by the sounds of it. So I would encourage people to try and make it down. That's one place that I've really wanted to get to, but have not been able to yet myself. The other ground down in Kyushu that my two guests have both been to, as I said earlier, is Nagasaki's Transcosmos Stadium. Chris, I'll let you have the floor first on Viren's ground, and your experience around it.
I love Nagasaki. I think Nagasaki's probably my favourite city in Japan. So I think it's a must visit if you're in Japan. It's really worth making the effort to get down to Nagasaki. Obviously the history is pretty tragic, but there's also a lot more happening down there. There's the history is really, really long history, and it's a very beautiful city. It's a much, much more beautiful city than I expected. It's surrounded by hills and mountains, and it's on the coast as well, so it's really beautiful. Transcosmos Stadium is about 30 minutes by train from Nagasaki City in Isahaya, and it's a decent stadium. It's you can walk from Isahaya Station in about 30 minutes, but there is also a shuttle bus that connects the train station to the stadium. I've been twice to Transcosmos. I went earlier this year for a Levan Cup match, then again last month for a Emperor's Cup quarterfinal. So I've not seen it on a really full night, but yeah, the atmosphere is still pretty good. And it is an athletics track stadium, so you've got the running track around it, but it's still a good place to watch football. And I think you can combine a trip to Nagasaki with Fukuoka. It's about 1 hour, maybe, by train from Nagasaki to Fukuoka. So I would definitely recommend, yeah, booking some time. And I think for Nagasaki, you need about 3 days at least to take it all in, because there's a lot to comprehend about that city and a lot to explore and discover. So yeah, I definitely recommend it. Yeah, really highly recommended.
All right then, and Stuart, did you enjoy your, did the city make as strong an impression on you as it did on Chris?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the trip there, and I found it, for one thing that's kind of surprised me about Nagasaki is that for all its beauty, I felt a little bit it's a city in decline, and I was asking my Japanese friends about that, and they said that after the shipbuilding kind of wound up in Nagasaki, there's not much to replace it. So it has a little bit of an old fashioned feeling to it, a little bit darker night than Tokyo, obviously. It was a very interesting experience, and we wandered around. I didn't see all of the tourist sites this time, but I had some a really good experience of going there. And they're saying that from the station nearest the match, the stadium, it was quite a walk to get there from the station, and but all along the walk there were little shops that were open, and they were giving away stuff like, please, try our local produce here, have some mikans and things like that. And it was a really I felt it was a really nice experience, like the walk, and that was a total surprise to me. I think that was mostly aimed towards the visiting fans. I'm not sure that the home fans got all of these things, but they were just calling out, come and have, try some of this. And there were lots of freebies, and the stadium itself was very very nice. A pleasant place. And the stadium staff were all really very very happy to see us, and especially because quite a number of fans went there, so we're buying a lot in terms of food and drink. But I think it was a little bit of a sad moment, because match was probably one of the nails in the coffin for Nagasaki remaining in J1 that year. So they're a little bit sad, and I could see that even the stadium staff were coming out and having a watch over the top to see how the match was going there. But definitely a trip, and I would have liked to have travelled a little bit more around in the area, and if I get the chance to go again, I might have a extra day, and especially if I can rent a car and go a little bit further afield.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're doing each other a favour here, because, yeah, Stuart, you spent more time in Oita than Chris was able to, and you said you really enjoyed it. And, Chris, you fell in love with Nagasaki, and you might have encouraged Stuart to make more of a trip of it the next time he's able to get down there. So, fantastic. So I guess, Chris, obviously people who are visiting Japan on holiday don't have to worry about the constraints of having to go away for a weekend and try and squeeze in two football games and then get back to either Kansai or Kanto to get back to work on a Monday. So I guess, Kyushu, you could easily dedicate a week to well, not only to obviously to the prefectures that have you know, football teams that you guys have been to. Obviously, I mean, Kumamoto and Miyazaki, Kagoshima are obviously fantastic places to visit themselves, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, if you worked a few days in Oita before either side of the maybe at the end of a week, and then went to a game in Oita on the say the Saturday, and then you're able to get over to Nagasaki for a few days after a theoretical game there on a Sunday, you would have been able to dedicate, you know, near enough to a week to two really excellent cities in Kyushu. And from Stuart's recommendation, you probably want to pop up to Fukuoka in the evening to get your party on.
Yeah, definitely. I think next season, I think that's got to be top of my list. But yeah, I think Fukuoka is definitely worthy of a extended stay. There's so much to do. It's I say, yeah, it's my favorite part of Japan. There's it's got your big cities like Fukuoka. You can do all your like your nightlife and all of the street food in Fukuoka. Then you've got the history in Nagasaki. You've got your hot springs in Oita. Then Kagoshima is a really interesting one, I think. I think for next season, I'm definitely going to go to a Kagoshima game because you have the view of the volcano, Sakurajima, right behind the stadium. And that volcano is like looming over Kagoshima, which is right down in the south of Kyushu. So yeah, that would be an incredible trip. And also, if you're a tourist and you're visiting Japan from overseas, if you get the JR Rail Pass, you can travel on all the JR trains and Shinkansen bullet trains in Kyushu. So I think you can get like a week-long pass for a seven-day pass. So if you get that pass, you could hit quite a few different J-League games and also see the best of the island.
Yeah, very well said. And yeah, if you're able to be here during a Levain Cup group stage week, then yeah, you'd probably be able to get to a game in either Tosu or Oita on a Wednesday night. And yeah, again, if you could work that into your trip, that would be an extra game of football that you would be able to get to. So yeah, before we left to Shikoku, I mentioned about the number of times where you could get to Ehime FC and Asanuki games on either day of the weekend. Well, this season there were a couple of instances in Kyushu where you could have done the same thing on three separate occasions. We've talked about Tosu and Nagasaki in the last few minutes. Well, yeah, three times this season they played home games on consecutive days of a weekend. And also the same applies to Tosu and Fukuoka. So, Stuart, you've mentioned the nightlife in Fukuoka, and you both mentioned that it's a good place to base yourselves if you're heading down to Kyushu, to catch the football or just for private travel purposes. But so what about the match day experience, getting to an Avispa Fukuoka home game then at the Level 5 stadium? That's obviously a very impressive stadium in itself, but the whole atmosphere around the stadium, and you've mentioned how close it is to the airport, but your experience down there.
Yeah, it was it's a good stadium. Yeah, my memory of that day was really it was a very bright day, and so we'd picked up our beers on the way from the on the way to the stadium, and we sat outside because we get there quite early to get into the ground, and it was kind of funny because, as I said, like walking from the airport directly to the stadium did really kind of set the scene for the day. But my memories, I think, are much more of the nightlife than of the stadium itself. You see if you've seen pictures of the stadium, it's quite a nice stadium. I think a little bit like the kind of the arched design of Saitama Stadium, but smaller in scale there. But very nice stadium if you can get to the Avispa match.
All right, then. So, Chris, any thoughts about any last-minute dashes down to Kyushu before the end of this season? I mean, yeah, you haven't been to Fukuoka, Kita Kyushu, Kumamoto, or Kagoshima. You mentioned that Kagoshima is one you'd like to get to next season. For example, on the 1st of December, both the Kita Kyushu and Kumamoto play at home. Any thoughts of a last-second trip down before the end of the 2019 season to catch a home game of either of those two clubs?
Very tempting. I would love to go again this season, but I think I'll have to wait until next season. But my kind of tentative plan for next season is to complete all the J League teams in Kyushu. So that's high on my list. But before the end of this season, I've got a few more games that I'm going to try and squeeze in before the end. But sadly, I think Kyushu will have to wait until next season again.
All right, any teasers, or we'll have to wait to check it out on your YouTube channel and of course lostinfootballjapan.com.
I'm heading to Fujieda this weekend on Saturday, and then I'm going to go to Nagano again, so Matsumoto and Nagano in the same weekend on December 7th and 8th. Then Emperor's Cup semi-final on the 22nd. And fingers crossed, if I can get a ticket, Emperor's Cup final on January 1st.
Yes, indeed. Well, you don't mess around, do you? And we mentioned it the last time you're on. If anybody's got an in for a ticket to the Emperor's Cup final, then I'm asking for a friend, and I will definitely pass it on to Chris if anybody wants to. My DMs are open, as the kids say, so let us know if anybody can help Chris out, because his road to the final series has been absolutely terrific, and we all want to see it reach its natural conclusion of Chris being there on New Year's Day in the new National Stadium. All right, well, the famous last words, guys, but we've motored through these six stadiums so far. I hope we've done them the appropriate amount of justice, but in our running order, Stuart, all that's left is the mighty Tappic Kenso Hiagon Stadium down in Okinawa, the home of FC Ryukyu. Regular listeners will know Ryukyu are your adopted second team. You're F. Marinos through and through, of course, but yes, you have a special place in your heart for Ryukyu, and you're able to make it down. I think it's the most recent new stadium that you've been to, and you're able to meet up with good old Jeff Osborne, Okinawa Aussie, as well. I'm sure it must have been a terrific experience to get down to Okinawa in the first place, but to also tie in a game of football must have made it all the more special.
Yes, I've actually been to Okinawa, I think, several times, and in the past, it was always related to music, because for many, many years, I've been a fan of Okinawa music, and going to the Ryukyu Festival in Tokyo every year. And enjoy the kind of the traditional music of Okinawa, and took an interest in that many years ago. So after I started coming to watch J-League matches, and I just noticed that there was a team in the third division at that time, FC Ryukyu. So I thought, wow, you know, what a great combination, Okinawa and football. So I made the effort to first see them in Sagamihara Stadium, and then after that saw them in Machida, and again Mitsuzawa. So around the Kanto area, I've seen them in several stadiums, but I hadn't been to see them at a home match until last month when they played Omiya, and so I decided to catch that match, because it was a free weekend for me, and I stayed in Naha, which is not close to the area where the stadium. The stadium is more towards Okinawa City in the center of the island, and it's quite difficult to get to because obviously in Okinawa there are no trains. There's a monorail which goes from the airport into the town into Naha and a little bit further than that, but it no way extends towards Okinawa City. So once you get out of Naha, the only way is a local bus or renting a car. And I didn't go a way that I would actually recommend. There was a bus that was going to from the bus station all the way to the stadium, and that is probably the way to go. But the bus that I got onto that was going towards the bus station, when I checked on Google Maps, it said, "Oh, if you carry this bus straight on to Chatan area and then get a taxi from Chatan, then you'll get to the stadium quickly." And I actually wanted to get there a little bit more quicker. Like that was the better option for me for the use of time on the match day, because it was an early match in the early afternoon. So I wanted to get to the stadium as quickly as possible. But once the bus dropped me off at where I was going to get the taxi, there was just nothing really there. There was it wasn't the place I thought it was. I thought it was going to be a bustling kind of shopping centre. Maybe I should have gone one or two more stops on the bus, but it was just a bus stop by the side of the road, and it took me a fair while to flag down a taxi and explain to the very confused driver where I wanted to go. And I don't think he'd ever heard of the stadium or that there was football being played in Okinawa at all. So he was very mystified about the whole thing. And I was directing him towards the end with my phone in hand with a Google Maps navigation going. So we finally made it to the stadium, and then I met bumped into some of the fans that I know from a couple of fans that I know from Marinos who were also there on that day, and other members of the Kanto area supporters of Ryukyu that I know, and so I wandered around the stadium with them. But I really can't say much about the food and drinks because it was quite a rush. We were running out of time on that day, and I went to straight to the seats, and pretty much as soon as the sat down at the seats, there was the farewell to Ryuji Bando, who was there that day to say goodbye to Ryukyu, because at the end of his career, he'd played 2018 for Ryukyu, and then he'd also played 2015-17 for Omiya. So there was a big celebration and farewell to him from both of the fans, both of the sets of fans there. And then one of the famous bands in Okinawa was playing, so we enjoyed that. And then the match was about to start, and I looked around, and I noticed that nobody in the area where I was, because it was actually right behind the core leader, nobody had a beer in hand. So I was a little bit nervous about bucking the trend there and going out and bringing my beer back. So I restrained myself for that that time, and then met the other guys, friends from Omiya, and Jeff, as you said there, outside the match, and I looked for somewhere to get a beer there, but I'd missed the beer there too, because that was inside the stadium, and I'd just gone out, and so I chatted with them, and I didn't have time to get a beer there, so it was a totally beerless experience for me for the first time. That stadium, it was good weather planned for the whole weekend, and the very last 10 minutes of the match was torrential rain. So I suddenly the clouds opened and it poured down with the rain. So, being prepared for all weathers as usually are, pulled out my big plastic bag covered up by stuff and got a good soaking. And then after the match, headed back to Naha with no plan to get back. So I took a taxi all the way back there, which again was probably the most expensive way to go. So I definitely recommend people, if you do go to Okinawa, if you have a group, then renting a car and having like four people in the car would be the cheapest way. But since I was there just for one day, and I was actually planning to have a drink during the match, I thought, well, I better not rent a car. But I ended up paying about the same price for the rental car as I did for the taxi on the way back. So I think in terms of money, like going myself by myself, it all balanced out. But it's quite this one is quite tricky to get to. But Okinawa itself, you know, the possibilities for like a weekend away in Okinawa in any season, hopefully apart from when the typhoons are coming in. But there's always plenty to do. And if you haven't been to Okinawa, it's a really, really wonderful place. Fantastic food and drink and entertainment that you won't find anywhere else. And so I would definitely recommend it as a weekend away or a short holiday if you can make it. But the Ryukyu fans are very nice and very, very, very friendly bunch. So definitely worth getting to go there.
Well, did you ever get to the bottom of this no beer when you're supporting the team behind the goal, malarkey, Stuart? Because that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I don't think I would be able to. I don't think I would be able to continue to call myself a Ryukyu fan if that was thrust upon me. I mean, gee whiz, as you well know, you've got to have a beer when you're supporting your team.
Well, you do. But I think though that this might be a little bit of a more general thing, because even with the Marinos supporters, the closer you get to the core leader, the less people drink. I find, and they're like in. I was talking to one of the groups, and they said, "Oh no, we don't drink before the match because you know, we need to concentrate on the game." And then we said, "And we don't drink if we lose either." So I think, oh, that was a bit too Spartan for me. So in terms of the Marinos matches, we tend to go a little bit away from the corner, towards the corner end on, so our little drinking club is down that way, and we're actually, I think, renowned for the most consuming drinking, because that is our culture to drink as we watch the match, and the ladies selling beer, they regularly come past us, looking hopefully that we'll fill up again. So I just think it's a little bit, you have to be a little bit sensitive to the culture of the people around you, and maybe in the other matches I've been to, when I think back, it's like, yes, maybe the other people weren't drinking so much there around there. I think maybe they drink beforehand, but not during the match. Just a quirk, I think, more than
anything. Yeah, I don't know, Stuart. Sensitive, schmentative, I don't know about that. Yeah, you've got to have a beer. But yes, anyway, that's a part of the supporting, the culture of supporting certain clubs. And fair dues to all of the people that get fully invested in that. So Chris, what about FC Ryukyu then? Is that something that you've got your eye on for 2020? Is that a trip down to Okinawa maybe the final J League ground you get to? I don't know if you've ever really thought that far ahead about it when you complete the set, but yeah, I mean, it's obviously a terrific tourist destination in itself, Okinawa. So, yeah, the chance to get down and, have a chat with Okinawa Aussie and check out an FC Ryukyu game, I'm sure it sounds very appetising.
It does indeed, yeah. I think another one for next season, I think that's very high on my list, is FC Ryukyu. Yeah, I've never been to Okinawa before. It looks incredible. Yes, I would definitely love to get down there. Whether or not it'll be my last J League stadium, I don't know. But I understand that. Are they building a new stadium for Okinawa? I'm not sure if that's happening or not. But yeah, I think next season I would love to get down there for that. Maybe as part of a Kyushu trip, fly to Kyushu first and then continue on to Okinawa might be a good way to do it, to maximize the sort of holiday time and number of games that I could see.
Have you thought about actually when you might be able to check them all off, Chris? And do you have one in mind that you would like to make the last to finally check the last one off your list?
Yes, I've not really thought about it, to be honest. I think at the moment I do like returning to some of the stadiums. So, for example, I'm going back to Nagano next month. So the pace maybe is slowing down a little bit, but. Yeah, as for the last one, I don't know, actually. I don't know which one would be a good one to finish on. Okinawa would be quite good, I guess. But, I don't know. I have to give that some thought, I think. Any recommendations for the final stadium?
I don't know, Stuart. What do you reckon? One that you've been to that Chris hasn't, that you reckon might be the crowning jewel as he ticks them all off?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, if you're going for a distance, then Okinawa would be a good one. I was going to say that in terms of travel, it's to actually get to Okinawa itself is not so difficult and quite cheap, really. There's quite a lot of discount flights to get there, so you can definitely get to the area as cheap as you can. Anywhere in Japan. I'm not sure. Yeah, where a good place, a good final place would be. But in terms of a place to see, yeah, if you haven't been to Okinawa, that would be a real treat, I think.
Well, if it wasn't for the Emperor's Cup final, Chris, then I would say that the new National Stadium would be a great one to finish on. But obviously, yeah, we're hoping that you'll be able to get there on New Year's Day. So it will be in no means by no means your last ground. But
yeah, that's right. I was for a while hoping that it would be my like a milestone number, like a number 50. But I think I'm only up to 37 now, so I think that's not going to happen before now and January 1st. But yeah, I think any stadium I get to, which will be the final one, will be a special occasion. So actually, one that I'm looking forward to going to, I've been to Nagoya Grampus before, but I've not been to Toyota Stadium. So I think that might be quite a good one.
Yeah, Stuart, you've been you're taking a bit of a tangent here, but yeah, you've been to the Toyota Stadium, I imagine, the one of the homes of Nagoya.
Yes, yeah, that's a good one to go to. Yeah.
All right then. So yes, listeners, we have we've talked about all seven stadiums in Shikoku, Kyushu, and Okinawa that both Chris and Stuart have visited. So it's just about time to wrap things up, but before we do, gents, Do you have anything to add? I guess any other business, perhaps something that you wanted to mention about any of the places that we've covered so far, and perhaps you didn't get a chance to. Perhaps I moved on to a different area before you had the chance to mention something that you would like to. So Chris, is there anything you wanted to add?
As for Kamatamare Sanuki, if you go to watch them play and you base yourself in Takamatsu, I would say that Takamatsu is one of the hidden gems in Japan. It really surprised me a lot, like how good it was. It's a place that I didn't really know much about before, but it's got enough to do for like at least, I think, 2 or 3 days. It's got one of the best gardens in Japan, which is Mitsuin Koen, which is absolutely breathtaking. It's incredible. It's up there, I think, with the best gardens in Japan. And I think I mentioned earlier briefly that Takamatsu is on the coast and it's on the inland sea. So there are lots of little islands not far from Takamatsu. So you can catch a ferry to one island in particular, which is really cool. It's called Ogijima, and it's like an old fishing village island. But there's lots of modern art displays on the island, so it's definitely really worth checking out. And also in Takamatsu, there's a place called Shikoku-mura, which is like an open-air museum about Shikoku's history, and it's a really tranquil place. If you're coming from like Tokyo or another big city, it's just amazing to sort of lose yourself in this a place that feels cut off from the outside world. So yeah, Takamatsu gets a big thumbs up from me.
All right, sounds absolutely terrific. And while you're going, Chris, anything from Kyushu as well?
Nagasaki, I think, is like I said earlier, a must do. Obviously, it's got the really sad history, and there's the Peace Park and the museum, but it's also got some really surprising places to see. There's another island, pretty on topic actually to talk about islands, but there's a small island just off the coast of Nagasaki. It's called Gunkanjima. It looks like a battleship when you're going towards it. It's an abandoned coal mine, which has been left, I think it was abandoned in maybe the 1960s or 70s. So now when you visit, it's you can go on like a guided tour, and they walk you through the sort of safe part of the island where you can see the old buildings. And also it was used in a James Bond film. It was used as evil base. I think it was, I can't remember which film it was one of the recent James Bond films. So it's a really, really cool place. Not that well known, I don't think, but definitely worth a visit. And there's another area in Nagasaki City called Glover Garden, which is the former home of Thomas Glover. He was like a former Scottish trader, and his house is on the top of a hill just above Nagasaki. So the gardens are really beautiful, and you get an amazing view of the city from that area. So yeah, I just think Nagasaki is definitely worth exploring. You won't be disappointed. It's a really cool place.
All right, fantastic. And Stuart, before we wrap up then, is there any other information that you wanted to mention that perhaps I moved on a little bit too quickly and that you weren't able to share?
I think I'm okay. One of the things that I've come away with visiting all of these places, like we said about Oita, and Fukuoka, they're actually a nice change from Tokyo area. You know, especially people coming to Japan who only have visited Tokyo, like all of the prefectural capitals and large cities, they follow like a kind of a fairly, similar plan. Like you could think that you're in any one of the cities just wandering around, but they're very, very kind of much more in a way open than Tokyo, like a wide streets, big shops, big places. So it's not you're not going away anywhere. Kind of like a small town experience in a way. It's a little bit reverse, a little bit more relaxing than wandering around Tokyo with all of the same places and regular things that you're accustomed to. So they're really kind of a relaxing weekend away. And one thing, going back to Thomas Glover, this soon to be a Japanese movie made about his life, so you can learn about him before you go to Nagasaki. And one of my friends is playing him in the movie.
Whoa!
There you go.
Wow.
So that'll be upcoming in, but I think in the next year maybe. It's just to finish filming.
Yeah. So if we're after tickets to the premiere, then you're the man to call on, Stuart.
Well, I'll do my best. I'll do my best. But yeah, he's if you've seen pictures of Mr. Glover, he's a dead ringer for him. I think they chose the right man to play him.
I see. Very, very good. All right, guys. Well, once again, I very much appreciate your time and you sharing all of your knowledge, all of the stories and all of the information that you've garnered on some of your travels watching football in Japan. Absolutely terrific, and I'm sure the listeners very much appreciate it as well. And obviously, as this episode isn't time sensitive, then listeners will be able to go back and listen at their leisure if they're thinking of planning a football related trip to Japan. So on behalf of the listeners, very much appreciate both of your contributions. So with all that done and all our T's crossed and I's dotted, I guess we will leave it there. And you never know, we might even get itchy feet and want to talk about some other grounds in the off season. But I guess this is almost certainly it for our ground hopping / island hopping specials while the 2019 season is still ongoing. So for now, once again, Stuart, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Well, it's obviously the second straight week we've spoken on the podcast, but great to get your in-depth thoughts on some of the stadiums you visited in Japan. Now, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And to Chris, obviously your road to the final is not yet complete, and we hope that you're able to make it all the way to the new National Stadium on New Year's Day. But as with Stuart, Chris, thanks ever so much again for sharing or some of the knowledge that you've accrued on visiting so many stadiums in such a short period of time. It's always great to catch up with you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on. So thank you very much for inviting me. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right. That's very nice to hear. Thank you very much, Chris. So that is it for the J-Talk podcast for another week. Yes, we hope that the stories and the information that Chris and Stuart have shared will help you if you're thinking of planning a football-related trip to the islands of Shikoku, Kyushu, and or Okinawa. So yes, that is it for the island hopping special. My thanks again to Stuart Woodward and to Chris Huff, and of course to you for listening wherever you are. We'll be back to review J1 Match Day 32 on next week's podcast. Speak to you next week. Bye for now.
The J Talk Podcast. Yes, 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 yes.